Philadelphia needs hope. Hope Pregnancy Centers on North Broad Street in Philadelphia has a mission to help women in crisis. In a safe, caring, and judgment-free environment, women receive free services like counseling, ultrasounds, supplies, education, and so much more. Hope's dedicated and loving staff offers personal support through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. On the front lines of Philadelphia, the need is great, but so too are those who step off the sidelines with financial donations that support Hope. If you have ever wondered how you can help, this is your moment to be a true lifeline. Give hope to Philadelphia by visiting multiplyhope.life.
It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Good afternoon. I am Dr. Howard, your weekly host on Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM, with my wonderful wife and co-host, First Lady Vanessa Howard. Our mission is to impact the world with the transformational power of the gospel through real talk, biblical teaching, testimonials, discipleship, practical living, and life coaching. Call us right now if you just want to holler, if you want prayer, if you want to share. 888-329-3306. Once again, 888-329-3306. And today's topic, we'll be dealing with relationship and marriage. Why marriage? Some of y'all are saying, why marriage, and scratching your head. But we thank God today for all that God is doing and this wonderful topic. First Lady Vanessa Howard, can you read today's scripture for us?
Amen. Our scripture will be coming from Proverbs 18, verse 22. And it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And he who finds a husband, I'd like to add, finds a good thing as well. To God be the glory for Amen. The great things that he has done, that he is doing, and that he is about to do. So we thank God for that. Let us open up in prayer before we move into our subject dealing with why marriage, relationship, and marriage. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Heavenly Father, we just say thank you.
Amen.
We thank you, O God, for all of our listeners out there. We thank you, O God, for our sponsors at 30 Main Restaurant and Catering and Hope Pregnancy Centers. Lord, we pray that you continue to be with all of us as we journey through this day. May somebody's life be impacted by your word. May somebody's life be impacted and changed by your spirit. So, Father, Holy Spirit, come now, walk with us, talk through us, that we may continue to journey with you by faith. Relationships and marriage. Why marriage?
Amen.
And what's love got to do with it? Amen.
Well,
we thank you, God. We bless you. We give you all the honor and glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We are here. We are here, First Lady.
We're here.
First Lady is here. She's in the house. And I want to know what she has to say about this topic of marriage and relationship and even really looking at pre-marriage.
Yeah.
Because what happens, First Lady, I think, is that many people look to the marriage. Mm-hmm. They look to love. They look to all of these things. And the reality is that many people are missing the mark because they did not prepare for the prerequisites. They did not prepare. So we want to talk about this preparation mm-hmm. and how it can help those who are with preparing to get married, who maybe have a boo, who maybe have a fiance, and even those who are married but are looking to increase their marriage, to get better, to be better.
That's right.
When the two become one, it's always better.
Always better.
So, First Lady, you have something you want to share with us?
Well, you know, I liked how you said, even if the woman who finds her husband, and I get it, but it's not biblically correct, but from the practical sense, it's an amazing thing when a female finds her husband. Rather, he finds her, biblically speaking. Proverbs 18:22 again says, he who finds a wife finds him a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And so we want to make sure that our listeners understand God's order, God's way, is that it is he who will find a wife. She's not going to find him, but nonetheless, when they find each other, amen, and she realizes that she found her, that he found his good thing.
Yes, yes.
And he proposes.
Woo.
And then she says yes.
Amen.
That's when she realizes that she found her good thing.
Yes, amen. Amen. And it is the duty. Men, I'm talking to y'all right now, to find that good thing. It is your duty to pray and to seek and to ask God for direction on where is this lady that you've prepared for me before the foundations of the earth? And why should I be considering marriage to her? And First Lady, there's a few verses in the Bible that kind of lend and lead to why we should be doing this and why marriage is so important. Biblical covenant, the biblical marriage that we're speaking of. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let's talk about that. Well, one plus one equaling
one.
Yeah. Talk about it, First Lady.
I like the fact that it says that a man shall leave his father and mother.
Yes.
And hold fast to his wife.
Yes.
So it is he who travels, not the opposite way.
Well, and the man shouldn't, you know, be at home at this time. The man should have some of his things in order.
Yeah, yeah.
In the prerequisite, the premarital conversations, the relational, the dating and courting phase, man, we need to have some things in order. We need to have a job. We need to have some good credit. We need to have our own home. I mean, these are some things that we really need to have before we considering becoming one with somebody else that God has charged us to care for.
And I think, you know, since I am a mother of three, I think the reason why God wanted the man to leave his family and to cling to his wife wherever she is because she also needs family support. Because what happens is, you know, once they get married and then they plan on having children, who's going to be there to support her, you know, through her process? Pregnancy is nothing to play with. Mm. And she needs to heal in order for her to be well enough to even take care of that child, depending on if she had natural birth or a C-section. So she needs to be close to her family and to have that support system to help her help him.
Hey. Hey, a man that find a wife findeth a good thing, but also a helpmeet. We are to help. She is the helpmeet. The wife is the helpmeet. But the reality is that we are to both help one another.
Amen.
We are to both submit to one another, as the word of God says. Yeah. We are to both love one another.
Amen.
But let's talk about it for our listeners out there who are excited about marriage, the marriage day, but have forgotten about the preparation for the rest of life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, First Lady, because there's some things in our history. Mm-hmm. There's some things that we learned from watching bad or good marriages, from our grandparents, our parents, whatever it may have been. These are some things that we still may struggle with. And if we've not conquered them, if we've not found a mentor, if we've not gotten counseling or premarital counseling or talked to somebody about some of these things that we saw that we thought were good for marriage. And then somehow fast forwarding, we get into this marriage, this wonderful, beautiful celebration on that day. But then afterwards, all hell breaks loose.
Amen.
And the walls begin to fall down.
Yeah. I don't want to negate the fact that sometimes it's not how you start, but it is how you finish for those who are already in it and are fighting for their marriage. Amen. And God will place people in your life to help navigate you through life. And it's important to seek out wise counsel, you know, and cling to couples who have been married for an extended time to help you through, you know, the bumps and of marriage, of life, growing together. But, you know, as we are discussing the preliminary things that we need to do in going through our family history.
Somebody say history.
History, you know, and that's something that people don't think about, that we have to go through in marriage counseling. It's important to go through your family history because you get to understand one another's background, what influenced you and what will influence you in the future in making decisions on what your family is going to look like based on what you saw or the lack thereof.
Yeah, that's good, First Lady, because the reality is oftentimes what we see or what's been modeled before us, we repeat it.
Yeah.
Whether it good or bad, whatever it is, if that was a really rocky, turbulent marriage that your parents were involved in that ultimately led to divorce, or your grandparents, or even though they may have stayed married for a long time, but there was just a lot of uneasiness, a lot of anger, a lot of angst, and things where the relationship just wasn't right. And as a child, you didn't really understand or fully understand. But even now, as an adult in your relationship, you're starting to realize, why am I acting that way?
Right.
Well, the reality is, First Lady, that the apple does not fall far from the tree.
That is correct.
And if we do not get premarital counseling, mentorship, and begin to talk through the history, because history has a funny way of repeating itself if it's not dealt with.
Yeah, and this is why the courting stage is so critical, and not rushing into marriage unless you heard from the Lord and the Lord told you it's time to do it. But the Lord, who is all-knowing and is all-wise, you know, already foresees the future, then he knows that, you know, that you guys will be able to go through whatever obstacles you're going to go through, and he will definitely supply the need that is necessary. So having that relationship with the Lord and hearing the voice of God is important.
Is very important, First Lady.
Yeah, but the courting stage is very important, and it's not to be rushed. This is where you get to know the other person. Take your time to get to know the person and to make sure that this is the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
You said it. It's not to be rushed.
It's not to be rushed unless the Lord tells you something different, and you better make sure that you hear from the Lord.
Yes, and not something that somebody said that was not true. And you know, you'll always get confirmation from God himself if it is for you to do. But you said do not rush. Wait on God and be in relationship with God. Communion. God, I'm praying for my wife. God, I'm praying for these characteristics. God, I'm praying that that she is XYZ. And for the women out there, that he is XYZ. That you should be in constant prayer. One, you're looking to find the one who is the exact fit for you. Are there going to be trials, First Lady?
Absolutely.
Are there going to be tribulations?
Absolutely.
Are there going to be rough spots?
Absolutely. And that's with counsel.
With wise counsel, with
wise
prayer,
counsel, yeah.
And with mentorship. There's still going to be very difficult times.
Well, I guess, you know, our listeners, maybe someone out there is probably saying, well, if I'm going to go through all this stuff, even after I do the counseling, then why bother? Let's just jump right into it. Well, the thing is, you want to take your time to get to know the person to see if you're compatible, and know enough information so that you can make a wise decision on if this is the person you want to go through life with.
Yes.
The good, bad, and different.
Yes.
You need to know what you need to know, because it's important for you not to get into something and then you realize this is too much for me to carry. You know, I can't carry this. This right here, you should have. This is the disclaimer that you should have told me before I said I will. Because now I'm in it. You know, you don't want to come into a relationship, a marriage, under deception.
Well, that's a good thing you're saying there, First Lady, because some folk paint a very good picture.
Right.
While dating and while courting, and are quite the gentleman or quite the lady. Mm-hmm. But then some things begin to happen and you start to say, wait a minute.
Right.
Is this the individual that I started dating 3 years ago?
Right.
Is this the individual that proposed to me to be my fiance? Because this individual has horns on his head. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who this person is that I'm talking to. And it's almost like now that we have been married, I'm sleeping with the enemy.
Right, right.
Well, what happens, First Lady, when that happens, when that challenge, you go through the courting, you go through the counsel, you go through all of that, you have a blessed and wonderful marriage day, but then the fireworks after the marriage.
Well,
the challenges come, the fiery darts of the enemy. Then what do we do, First Lady?
Well, Dr. Howard, I just wanted to say while you were speaking, I just had a visual. You know, while you're in the marriage, that's when you realize that maybe your husband has a hand problem. And what I mean by that is when he gets upset and he doesn't know how to control his anger, then he rages out by putting his hands on you. And during your marriage counseling, as whoever's counseling you goes through the family history, then you would have realized that this is something that he may or may not have seen demonstrated to him, because us going through our family history breaks down the foundation that they've had in their life. And I've come to realize, you know, after being married 12 years and us going through our thing, is that we sometimes duplicate what we've seen. Until we have to make a decision to break the vicious cycle in which we saw, because we don't have to do a redo, right? We don't have to do the same thing we saw if we know in our heart of hearts, and having a relationship with the Lord and him giving us the wisdom that he has given us to act that the same way maybe our parents or grandparents and the things that they've done.
There's something called a marriage philosophy.
Yeah.
There's biblical marriage and the standards that God holds us to as husband and wife, and submitting one to another. And as we're courting and preparing our lives to spend with somebody else coming from a completely different background.
Yeah.
Completely different culture.
Right.
Completely different life, if you will. And then the amazing thing about covenant relationship and covenant marriage is that God will find a perfect way to fit the grooves together.
Amen. You know, and another thing that came to my mind, how you handle stress. You know, there's a lot of stress in marriage.
In life.
Yep.
Absolutely.
In life, which, you know, is a turmoil. It bleeds into your marriage. You know, and learning how you deal with stress is important when it comes to your family. Are you lashing out? Are you speaking negative words? Are y'all cussing at each other? Are you putting holes in the walls? And so your children is seeing, you know, these behaviors. And then now they're grown adults doing the same thing they saw.
And that's a great point you bring up, First Lady, because if you discuss those things, and I know in the premarital piece, then the reality would be, even if they were brought up in counseling, you would be able to at least work through them.
That's right.
And it wouldn't be a complete shock or flabbergast moment in the event of someone expressing their anger in their marriage. You know, you have some people that are pistols, you know, people that are explosive. And it could be with in a physical way. It could be in a verbal way. It could be emotionally. You don't know. But I know that there's someone out there listening that is saying, I'm going through all kinds of hell. And we're not even married.
Right.
I feel like I'm a prisoner. And we're not even, he's not, has not even put a ring on my finger.
Well, you shouldn't feel like a prisoner. You know why?
Because come on.
Y'all shouldn't be living together. That's number one.
Tell us.
That's number one.
Tell us.
And you shouldn't be having sexual things outside of marriage. And I can go to the scripture.
But you are,
exactly.
But oftentimes that is happening with those
most of the time
that are not in Christ.
Yeah.
And even those that are, because the flesh is weak. And I want to say that because God loves you in spite of. But the reality is we want to continue to do our best and be all that God has called us to be, First Lady.
Yep. And so in being all that God has called us to be. Right.
Yes.
And being all that he is has called us to be, you know, I'm going to reiterate Proverbs 18:22 says that he wants us to do these things so that we can have favor with God. In order for us to have favor from the Lord, that means we have to do it his way and not our way. When we do it his way and not our way, we have favor with the Lord. When favor comes in, that's when the blessings of the Lord comes in.
Yes.
My God, that's where we can break generational curses. Amen.
That's where we can
walk in power and the authority and dominion that he has given us.
Thank you,
if you are already there is a way out, first of all, okay? Because sometimes to move forward, you have to move backwards.
Well, you're saying something, First Lady. Sometimes you have to move backwards in order to move forward.
Yep, especially if you're in that place where you feel stuck.
And you have to reevaluate. You have to reevaluate your life on a daily basis, really.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about picking up your cross daily, walking with Jesus, following his ways and his instructions, his word.
Yeah.
But there's also that evaluation process in any relationship that you're in, and especially in the romantic relationship leading to marriage. We must evaluate. And the reality is this, I want to read this portion here because, you know, God's word is true. God's word is real. And I think sometimes we try to move ahead of God because of our emotions and because of our feelings. And the reality is this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 says this, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And the reality is sometimes we're unequally yoked. And that's in our spiritual, that's in our emotional, and that's the reality, First Lady. And when we are not equally yoked spiritually, in our maturity, which is a big thing, and in the realities of life. And if we are immature and not willing to become one, it's a problem, First Lady. And it causes problems even before we get to the marriage and beyond.
Wow. You got to be on one accord.
So there are those listening right now and saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. But I'm telling you, if you're out there listening and you're struggling in your relationship, it is critical to find a mentor couple. It is critical to find a counselor. And I would recommend a Christian counselor. And it is critical that you find someone who's doing what you desire to do. Someone who's been in relationship and marriage a long time that can help counsel you through, help walk with you through the journey, First Lady, because it most certainly is a journey.
Yeah.
Marriage is ups and downs, and biblical marriage, the covenant that God has ordained and preordained with man and woman, guess what? Mm-hmm. Still a journey.
Yeah.
It's still a journey, First Lady.
And so, you know, you're in it, right? And there are challenges, whatever they may be. There is help. You know, there is counseling, individual counseling, working through and breaking down some of these generational curses that you've replicated knowingly and unknowingly. Mm. And that's for the counselor to unpack, to let you know that, you know, you're into drugs. Your father was into drugs and his father was into drugs. Mm. That's what is a generational curse, because you're passing it from generation to generation, and it's not a good thing. And so that's what we call a generational curse.
Or alcohol addiction.
Right. And so whatever it is, pornography or adultery.
Adultery. Yes.
And so, you know, these are things that sometimes unknowingly we have to battle in the spirit that we may not necessarily know.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Some things are so deeply rooted, and it's a very real thing. And getting counseling, you know, from a pastor, you know, and a regular counselor could help you get through some of these things. And you just have to make that stand, you know, within yourself and know that this is what you need to do in order for you to have a successful marriage. You're not only making this decision for you, but if you have children, you're also doing it for them, because what you're doing is you're trying to break a cycle so that it won't continue
to
your children and then ultimately your grandchildren.
And the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all. Mm-hmm. And let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Goes in line with exactly what we're saying here. But marriage needs to be held in honor among all, especially those who are joined in matrimony together, joined in the covenant relationship together, First Lady. That is a serious covenant. Not only is it between man and God, but it's the triangle. I like to say, if you're looking at the triangle, the top is God, and then the husband and wife on each side of those of the other points on the triangle. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, without God, your marriage will fail, because we can't do what is required of us in our own self, First Lady.
Yeah.
We can't do what is required of marriage truly coming together. There's mystery. There's God's hand on it, because as human beings, we can't just totally deny ourselves and come together, the two becoming one.
Right.
That is only of God, First Lady.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to several different people, people that I love, that may not necessarily agree with it, you know, not being sexual before marriage, and they're just enjoying life and this is what they do, you know, and they're all right in that space. But then they also love the Lord, right? And so you have to just make a decision to know that you want favor with God.
Yes.
And you want to live an upright life, because Hebrews 13:4, just like Dr. Howard just read, was that God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And, you know, life may be grand and you're living it up now, but there is a time where the Lord does, when he lays his hand, and there's a word I'm looking for, it won't come to my mind, judgment. When the Lord lays his hand in judgment against you, you want to make sure that you do everything in your power not to get to that space. Because once judgment comes, there's no turning back.
And we're all going to stand before the Father. And
every single one of us.
And we're going to stand before him. And we just say, God, prepare us now, hearts, minds, body, and spirit. Lord, allow us to remove from our wicked ways. We repent even right now.
Yeah. We fall down, but we get up.
And get back up.
Fall down, but get up, but don't stay there.
Yeah. And First Lady, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says this: love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. My goodness. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's marriage wrapped up in a few sentences, a few verses right there, First Lady.
Yeah.
Love is patient. See, in a marriage, you must be patient.
Yeah.
Extremely patient, because you're dealing with human,
yep,
another human. You're dealing with humanity. You're dealing with someone who's less than perfect. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, it also says you must be kind.
Right.
It doesn't take money to be kind. It doesn't take a whole lot of expertise and education to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's why the Lord says, be kind. Love your wife, love your husband, and love does not envy or boast. So it's not about who's in charge. Although God has given us headship as men to lead our families properly, but we're not to be arrogant or rude. Is anyone out there listening? Is anybody resonating with this scripture here? Because it's powerful and it really embodies what it takes to be flowing in the marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, Pastor and I are speaking here about marriage. We've been married for 12 years, and we've experienced a lot within our 12 years. Things that we definitely walked into, some things that we probably didn't know about each other, and then had to work through them individually and together. And it all boils down to, you know, what kind of marriage do you want to have?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because we're in it. It's the two of us. What kind of marriage do we want to have?
What do you want to have?
What kind of legacy do we want to leave behind? Because we have little ones that's watching us.
Yes.
You know, and, yes. You know, I want the best for Zion. I want the best for Matthew. And we definitely want the best for Marcus.
Yeah.
So they will replicate what they see. And are we perfect? No, we're not perfect, but we strive to. We are striving for perfection, in the sense that if we know we're doing something wrong or have done something wrong, then we will correct it to make sure that we teach our children that you may fall short. You may not get it right all the time. But when you acknowledge these things, then you have to take the proper measure to do it correctly so that you don't continue perpetuating the same behaviors over and over again, which ultimately leads to death.
Yes. Yes, First Lady. And as we prepare for our halftime break, we will come back and continue to discuss relationship and marriage, and why marriage, and what we need to do. You are here on Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM, as we go into our halftime break. May God bless you.
Don't have no money.
get to know Jesus someday. Thank you, First Lady, for that powerful song. Amen, amen, and amen.
So all I have is Jesus.
All I have is Jesus. And we are back here again. Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM. Dr. Howard and First Lady Vanessa Howard. And we're here back again. Relationships and marriage. Why marriage? First Lady?
Why marriage?
Why marriage?
Marriage is a beautiful thing where two becomes one. One plus one does not equal two, honey. We become one. We do everything together.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. You have to make decisions together. You have to walk together. You have to align together.
Yeah.
There are things that you're going to do separately. Obviously, I can't work for him. He can't work for me. But then, at the end of the day, we bring our resources together. I'm supposed to.
And the reality is we still work for one another. That's the reality of it. Yeah. When you said that he doesn't work for me, I don't work for him. I said, wait a minute. We work for one another. That's the reality of marriage.
Right, right.
In many ways, in many shapes, in many sizes, in many forms. But the reality is when we're talking about relationships in preparation for marriage, mm-hmm. I know we've kind of looked at the big picture of marriage. Mm-hmm. We've looked at pre-marriage and what that courting and relationship stage looks like. But the reality is if you are a person who likes to do things alone, if you are an introvert, if you don't like to be bothered with anyone else and you like to do what you want to do and make your own decisions, handle your own business, then the reality is you might not get married.
Yeah.
But the reality is the Apostle Paul talks about, it may be a good thing not to get married if it be. But the reality is, if it be the Lord's plan and the will for your life. Right. But the reality is, most folk have that thing called flesh and desires of intimacy and desire of relationship.
Do not want to be alone.
And do not want to be alone.
The Lord created us for each other. You know, when God created Adam, he saw that Adam was alone and he created Eve. Because he didn't want Adam to be alone.
It is not good for a man to be alone.
Yeah, it's not good.
You know.
Not a woman. Heard that?
For
it's
man,
good for
but,
a man not to be alone.
But it's also the reality, good for man or woman. They need each other.
We need each other. Right.
And we cannot be alone.
We sure do.
People
it's
can't
so true.
Function. There's a lot of people functioning alone.
Yeah.
And you may be out there listening saying, I'm alone right now, Dr. Howard, First Lady, but I'm praying that the Lord sends me my mate.
Yeah.
That the Lord sends me somebody that I can walk with, that I can connect with, that we can raise a family together with. And that might be you. But it also might be you on the other side saying, I don't want anything to do. I enjoy my life by myself.
Right.
And that may be you too.
Some things and you're like, that ministry is not for me.
and that may be you. Say, I don't want to get married.
Right.
I've seen some marriages in my life that I don't want or agree with. I saw how my parents or grandparents or aunt or uncle. And I don't know if I want to get tied up in that.
Or you've been married and, and
talk about it.
You're divorced, and it just put a bad taste in your mouth and you're not trying to do that all over again.
And the reality is,
I believe that God is a God of reconciliation. And He is. He heals us, our inner parts, the parts that is bruised, that is broken. And sometimes it takes time for us to heal in that particular area so that we can move on. And some of us are holding on to past hurts and it's stopping us from moving forward.
My Lord.
And it's delaying our blessing. And so it's good to do a good evaluation in who you are and how did you get where you are. You know, when you evaluate yourself and, counseling, we're going to say that again, it's
and
very important. And be real with
yourself.
Yes.
Because a lot of folk don't want to be real with themselves.
Come on, keep it 100.
They know that they enjoy the single life.
Right.
but they want to tinker with marriage and relationship.
Right.
And see, you can't play with people's emotions.
That's true.
Because people get excited and upset when you when you play with their emotions.
Yeah.
And the reality is we have to be honest as adults and as people when we're dealing with other folks. I know that some folk are just dishonest. Some folk lie. Some folk cheat. Some folk steal. And that's the reality of the sin nature.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with people's lives, and anytime you're entering into a relationship, you're dealing with somebody else's life. Mm. Not just their present life, but possibly even their future life.
Wow.
And possibly even their eternal life.
Wow.
So you have to realize that there are relationships and there's do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't lie. If you know that, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you don't want nothing to do with that man or woman other than to lay down with them. Did I say that, First Lady? Or to get something from them financially or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it. Because not only are you jeopardizing their present, their future, and their eternal, you're jeopardizing yours as well. Because God will judge all of us.
Yeah, one of the things that is discussed during premarital counseling is expectation.
Yeah.
What are your expectations one another in your relationship, you know?
Expectations.
These expectations.
Great expectations.
But, you know, even before marriage counseling, y'all, you know, in dating, y'all need to discuss, you know, we all at some point needed to discuss what our expectations are. Are we looking for long-term? Are we looking for, you know, commitment? Or are we just looking to have fun?
Because the reality is in different stages of your life, you're going to be you're going to answer that question differently.
Yep.
And the reality is if somebody's in a stage or phase where they just want to have fun, and you're at a phase where you said, oh, God told me in prayer, I've been praying, I've been contemplating and meditating, and God said that he wants me to marry. Okay. But the individual that you're dating doesn't want anything to do with marriage.
Well,
so the reality is that may just be the prerequisite or precursor for what God has in store for you.
Right.
You know, sometimes the Lord will allow you to experience a fool before he sends you your knight in shining
armor.
Say
that again. Hold on. Let me put it a little differently. Because when I was dating, the devil will send you a lot of counterfeits.
Counterfeits.
That will almost fit the description and the things that you're looking for before the real thing came.
My God. And I am the real thing, y'all.
I had some
Praise God.
Some qualities, but didn't match up.
God.
You better be able to discern the counterfits.
The counterfeit.
Y'all.
And First Lady, you said it right. You said the counterfeit before the real thing comes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Oftentimes in relationships, we'll deal with a lot of counterfeits. But when the reality and that real one comes that was sent from above for you, you'll know it.
And let me tell y'all this
you'll
quick
know
story,
it
Pastor.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Lord, I felt in my first time that I thought I fell in love, I was 16 years old.
Come on.
This guy that I loved so much, it was my first boyfriend.
Lord Jesus.
He broke up with me and I was done. I was so done. I was boohooing. I had to call my best friend to
come and talk to me.
And she said, Vanessa, God has something better in store for you. And here I am all emotional and in the moment. No, but that's the one I want.
My.
Right? And so, ladies, I know, you know, maybe or not have been in the same situation where, you know, you really care about this person, but he's not matching up. He doesn't want what you want, and you're upset and you're crying because this is the one that you want. I'm gonna give you the same advice. My best friend, who was 16 at the time,
not matching up,
and she said, "God has more for you. He has better in store for you. God is not gonna give you something that doesn't match up with what He wants for you."
Yeah. And the reality is, First Lady, that's great. That's a great example because you know, sometimes we experience puppy love.
Yep.
And that's in that teenage years and then in the early 20s and then even midway up to your mid-20s and then maybe even to your 30s. You know, it depends on where you're at emotionally, where your maturity level is.
Yeah.
And where it is that God places this individual in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then God places it in both of your hearts and confirms it with both of you. If one person is dying to get married and the other person is saying, well, wait a minute,
yep.
Slow down. This is our second date. wait a minute. This is our first, you know, eHarmony and whatever, you know, dating service or any of those things out there.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot go too fast. One thing I'll say to folks out there listening who are thinking about getting married, who are married, and maybe contemplating what's the next step in their marriage,
mm-hmm.
what's the next direction in their marriage, or maybe they're saying, our marriage is in the ICU right now.
Mm.
You know, we're holding on for dear life. God, what do I need to do? And for those marriages that are in the ICU right now, I say you pray and you ask God for direction. You ask God for strength. And then you latch on to a Christian counselor, pastor, someone who can give you wise counsel. And that may be in your first year of marriage. You may just be in that first year getting over all the storms that came your way. Or you could be 10 years in. Or you could be 20 years in, or you could be 30 years in and still in the ICU. So I pray for every marriage that's in the ICU that God will resurrect that marriage and that that marriage will be all that God has called it to be.
Amen. Amen. And I want to say this. Building a solid marriage requires commitment, sacrifice, and work.
Commitment, sacrifice, and work.
And I'm going to tell you this, we're not promising that the road is going to be easy, but we understand the word of God that says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And when you put God in the midst of your marriage, it will not and it cannot fail.
That's right.
It will not and it cannot fail. God will not and cannot let you fail.
Sacrifice.
And you both have to be in it. The both of you have to be in it.
Both
have to want to fight for it enough to get the help that you need and work through it. It can't be one-sided
because
that's going to fail. You both have to be three strand, not with one out, you know, not
God
being present.
And both parties.
That's right.
Must be in the middle of it. And the reality is if God is not the center of the wheel, the spokes are going to shoot off in every different direction.
Mm. He's the wheel.
If he is not the center of the wheel,
that's right.
The walls are going to come down.
Tumbling down.
Come down. And First Lady, you said something there that this thing needs commitment.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
And work.
And work.
Gotta put
People
it
don't
in the
realize
work.
That work, your marriage is really your first work and your family.
Yep.
It's your first ministry.
Uh-huh.
God ordained that. Your marriage
that means nothing
and your family
takes precedence.
But oftentimes, let's just be honest.
Uh-huh.
Life gets in the way.
Yep, you got to find
let's
a balance.
Let's be honest that the balance is unequal at times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest that even sometimes our level of commitment
is off. Yeah.
Because we're out chasing the quan or the dollar. And we've forgot about some of the things that are most valuable.
Yep, she
at the home.
Right, and if it's the man that's out chasing a dollar,
whoever it is,
you know, trying to
or
set
both.
A foundation for the family, then the wife have to be in agreement that that's what you both want to do for her to understand that she's holding down expectations. There
great expectations,
yep.
And if these expectations are not met prior to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a marriage that is dysfunctional because the expectations were off from the beginning.
From the beginning.
And if the expectations were off from the beginning, now you have folks that are really unequally yoked.
You know what, Pastor? Every single year, what we've been doing, we've been setting expectations, right? And goals.
Goals and objectives.
Five-year, 10-year, 20-year plan. And so although we do set expectations in the beginning, it's good to renew them as yes. time goes, because we both grow to become
and
different
re-evaluate.
People.
Reevaluate.
Yep, we grow to be different people. We evolve into other things together.
Yes,
sometimes,
and you know, individually.
Right.
And so, we have to grow. I'm right with you. You have to grow. You have to be willing to evaluate, reevaluate. You have to be willing to adapt, mm-hmm. adjust, and change.
Wow.
If you're rigid, you're going to struggle in your marriage. If you are just, this is the way, or my way or the highway, you're going to struggle in relationships and marriage.
And let me tell y'all something. My knees and prayer is the success to having a successful
marriage,
a healthy marriage.
Prayer.
And vice versa. You have to pray for your
spouse.
For one
another.
You have to pray for your spouse, because
yes.
as we change and evolve to become different people,
yes.
there's some different things that we'll experience in life.
And even in the pre or preparing for marriage, you have to pray before God even sends that individual into your life.
Yeah.
Pray specifics. Write the things down, because I know that I began to pray those things. And God will show up with the answer.
Yes, he will.
But write it down.
Yes, he will.
Make it plain. I mean, as far as everything, he may not give you everything that you write down and
right.
pray for regarding your significant other or your spouse. But the reality is he will come mighty close.
Oh, yes, he will.
Because God answers prayer, and God honors covenant biblical marriage.
Yeah.
And God wants marriage to be successful. And there are those out there, even right now, who are struggling. There are some of you out there looking to throw in the towel. But we encourage you, do not throw in the towel. Do not quit. If you're in the ICU, reach for that counsel. Reach for that couple, a mentor. Reach for those folks who can help you be revived. And most importantly, reach for Jesus. Reach for God. Allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you, to restore you and your relationship. First Lady, I know it's time now normally where we head into our preacher's corner.
Mm-hmm.
But speak a little bit about marriage. Just talk about the difficulties of marriage and speak a word. And I'm going to take about a minute. And then I'm going to just, as the Lord moves and the Spirit leads, say a few words about marriage. That will encourage those listening.
I would say that marriage is a beautiful thing between you and your spouse, to have someone that you can share your life with. You will go through trials together. You will go through obstacles together. But ultimately, you are together. You can build something amazing and beautiful, knowing that you both are in it together. You both are committed in it, you know, together. No matter what trials comes your way, you're conquering it together with the help of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen, First Lady. And I want to talk to two groups, those who are preparing for marriage. And I want to encourage you to keep praying. Never stop praying until God sends your knight in shining armor, your king and or your queen. Never stop reading God's word and believing God's word.
Yes.
Commit to the process of preparing. See, oftentimes preparation is critical in everything. If you do not prepare, say if you fail, what is it? You prepare to fail. If you don't prepare, you prepare to fail. And the reality is you need to be in a constant mode of preparing. We thank you, God. We bless you. We honor you. And we give you all the glory. WWDB 860 AM, Total Transformation Radio. May God bless you and keep you.